Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Is Drunk Women Solving Crime. My name's Katie Wilkins and I'm an author and comedian. I'm joined by screenwriter Hannah George.
Hello.
And writer-comedian Taylor Glenn.
Hello.
This is where brandy meets bludgeoning, mimosa meets misdemeanor, and port meets prostitution. It's a true crime podcast with a twist of lime. Coming up on Drunk Women Solving Crime.
It's like Shakespeare, they either get married or murdered.
I've never been accused of a crime, that doesn't work.
Bon anniversaire à toi, oh, bon anniversaire yes. à toi, bon anniversaire Katie.
Don't approach me, I'm gonna destroy you.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Welcome to another episode of Drunk Women Solving Crime. We have a very special guest for this episode of Live on Zoom show. We have a fantastic French actress. You may recognise her from Call My Agent. Please welcome Fanny Sydney. Yay! She's from France.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Fine, I'm great. And you?
Yeah, good.
This is good.
This is an international live podcast.
Yeah.
Are you in Paris at the moment?
Yeah, I'm in Paris.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm.
I've never been to Paris. Can you believe it? Someone as cultured as I.
Oh, Hannah, you must. Everything they say is true. It lives up to all of it.
Yeah, Paris is awesome.
I do their PR. Paris. It lives up to the shit that they say about it. It's great. Go.
Fanny Sydney, we have one question for you. Have you ever been the victim of a crime?
Oh, yeah.
What happened?
Once I received a lot of messages from a porn star. And he sent me messages on my Instagram and my email, and it was supposed to be a warning for me, but it wasn't. I was very curious to meet him because he was offering me to direct an erotic series, so why not? So we had a lot of speaking, and I was very worried because he didn't call my agent.
Nice. Well, we've peaked. Thanks, guys. We're going to call it a night after that. That was just, we're not going to.
I tried to understand what this guy wanted and what was his project. And we talk, and he offers me to have dinner. Together with Rocco Siffredi. I don't know if it's very famous porn actor everywhere, but in France, he's a very famous actor.
Oh, really? Okay.
So he is the French porn star. Okay, yeah, great. Yeah. Great. Yeah. What's his name again? Can we get the name again?
Rocco Siffredi. I think he's Italian.
Just popular in France.
Yeah, exactly.
Fair enough.
So I asked a friend of mine to come with me because I was kind of a bit afraid to go to this new industry and to meet some...
Yeah.
Yes. And it never happened. I never met... Rocco Siffredi or either that guy I had on phone. I tried to understand. I had a lot of conversation by phone with him.
Yeah, okay.
Thinking about sexuality, and it was very, very, very smart. And I thought, oh my God, I have a bad idea of porn stars because he's brilliant.
Okay, yeah. Well,
yeah.
Never judge a book by its cover.
Yeah, or maybe judge it. One morning, he sent me a dick pic.
Oh, so, okay. After all of this?
Yeah. So I just told him, no, we can't work together because I don't want to receive a dick pic.
Yeah.
Sorry, can you say dick pic one more time, though? It's just like the best I've ever heard it say. Right? Just one more time.
A dick pic.
Stop making dick pics sound alluring, man.
I like it's like disdain. It's like, that sounds like a stupid thing to send someone.
Yeah, yeah. And it was a porn dick pic, so the dick was huge. It's kind of a trauma.
Was he sending you a CV? Is that what that was? Like, was it a resume?
I told him, so it won't be, we can't work together. And he told me, oh, sorry, I was casting some actors and it's a dick from another guy. But I don't care.
Oh, man. It's not even my dick pic. He goes to another school.
I stopped talking to him, and one year later, a friend of mine asked me, have you ever met this huge porn star you told me about and you offered me to go dinner with Rocco Siffredi and have some pastas? And I answered, no. Why? Because there is this big affair.
Scandal?
Yeah, scandal. There is this guy who was in school with us.
Is he pretending to be?
Exactly.
He was impersonating the porn star.
Yeah, to grab some sexuality stories and to meet some.
Oh, no.
Wow.
So you thought it was sort of like a documentary?
At first I thought...
I'm just trying to follow.
First I thought, oh, there is this porn star who is offering me to work with him to direct a series.
Uh-huh.
Right.
A year later, I had this warning like, oh, this guy wasn't this porn star.
Yeah.
So basically you were catfished by someone pretending to be a porn star.
Yeah, exactly. I wasn't the only one. He did that to like 100 girls in our industry.
My God.
Yeah. And
wow.
Oh, le dick pic.
That's crazy. So he was someone you knew?
Yeah, I knew him. I learned. I was informed.
Yeah.
He was a fetishist. It was a bit creepy for me. And he was a fetishist of 33 number. 33 was... this. And I reread our conversations and 23, sorry.
Shut
suddenly
up. 23.
Saying me, happy birthday, you are sent 23. And I.
Oh, whoa.
I felt marked. Like, it was very creepy. And then I noticed that. When I was talking to the porn guy, he was talking to me at the same time.
Oh, like his real self?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, this is really like such an invasion of like the guy that did it. He's outed as doing this crime now. Everyone knows that he's been doing this, right?
Oh, yes. But I think he redo something like that because a year later, I had someone put a notice on internet to say, oh, Fanny Sidney is directing her new film and she's looking for people naked who looks like her. And you can send your photos to this email address. And this email address had a number.
Oh, let me guess it. I was going to try and guess it in French, but I didn't take it at GCSEs.
Oh, man. So he's still out there trying to get pictures of you naked, basically.
Also, I can think of nothing worse than someone seeking out anyone who looks like me naked. Like, it's enough that there's just me. I don't want to see myself, like my body double. I don't want to see my body double. Just saying. Oh, just saying. I'm not into this. I was with it for a while. 23? I was kind of into that.
23?
Why 23?
That's like a conspiracy number though, right? There's like loads of conspiracies around the number 23. It's like, it's like a, it's the thing. The 23 really? Thing is, yeah, it's like, there was a Jim Carrey movie, I think, called Number 23. And it's all about the fact that it's a weird thing. I don't really know much about it, but
okay. Well, look, I love to have a running Google list with every episode, so I'll research that. But that is wild.
Yeah. So did he get in any trouble? He obviously didn't do prison time. Did he get in any trouble at all when everyone worked
out? No, never. The porn star, the real porn star.
Right.
He didn't
press charges. Yeah, kind
exactly.
Of thing.
So we were a number of girls going to the police station to say, oh, this guy is a psychopath.
Yes.
But how have you found French police with issues like this? Like, do they take harassment and catfishing seriously?
Oh, no. The guy I met was really laughing and yeah, it was not serious.
Yeah.
How long ago was this?
It was, I think, 3 years ago.
Okay, so relatively recent.
So actually they should be better at cybercrime 3 years ago. It's not like it was like a long time ago. They should know much more about this.
In terms of their response to it,
yeah,
you mean?
Yeah, they should have. There's been much more education about this.
He didn't hurt anyone, so, but psychologically. And I was afraid. I was, could he be around my home? And I don't know.
Yeah, of course.
And I felt that he went next step with this second, because the girls faced him and he said, oh, I'm sorry, I'm sick, I will have some psychological treatment and I will
At 23 Harley Street, am I right?
Oh my god.
Wow.
Yeah, well, that's like, he's deaf. That's predatory behavior. We always ask on this podcast too, Fanny, like, what would you say if you had, if he was in a room now, the police have got him, like, is there anything that you would want to say to him
or do?
Oh my god, I would say, don't approach me, I'm gonna destroy you.
Straight to the point.
Nice. Love that.
I'm going to destroy you.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to work that into a sentence in the next month, I promise.
The worst is people who send me an email, I don't know where is it from. I am very suspicious. I'm very maybe it's him. And I'm very, aggressive.
This is why it's when people try to minimize this sort of crime and say, well, nobody was hurt. It's just psychological. Well, just psychological is horrible because it stays with you. You don't just shake that off and go.
Yeah, exactly what you say, Taylor. It stays with you.
And presumably the porn star could have pressed charges for him stealing his identity.
Yeah, yeah.
So he gets to have some justice.
For that, but
he chose not
to. Care.
Yeah, what a shame. Huh.
Well, we need to get the message out that this guy's going to get destroyed. This is the only way they'll learn. I will destroy you.
Yeah. Also, for the listeners, can I just say how Parisian the background, like your windows, and there's flowers in her windows.
There's been comments on these windows.
Oh,
have you seen the comments?
Look at that.
Everybody's loving the Parisian windows.
I wasn't even sure if it was real. I thought maybe you'd put up a backdrop like Paris number 9. Oh my gosh. Beautiful.
Yeah, we only get this in Zoom backgrounds. You've got the real thing.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
We've ended a horrible story with a lovely talk about flowers. And now we can move on to some true crime. Okay, you guys ready?
So ready.
Sure am.
And people
Je suis prête.
Hey!
That's not right. Je suis... Okay, what I'm not going to do this the whole time. I'm not going to do this the whole time. I promised myself, and now I'm promising you.
I just want to respond to everybody in our group chat is saying that they're ready, and I love that. The live crowd are ready. And also, somebody asked about my kids' weird art in the background. And I just want you all to know, this is really a visual thing, so the listeners at home, you should have come to the live show because this would make sense. That is my daughter's husband that she drew during lockdown, and that is the daughter that they had together. That's Jeff and Lil.
Jeff.
And I don't know if you can really tell from here, but if you zoom in, you can. Me and Rich don't like how Jeff is smirking.
It's definitely a smirk. It's definitely a smirk.
He's kind of smirking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No.
That did not work. I apologize.
Katie's also a director, Fanny.
Yeah.
Known for her handheld techniques.
My dick pics are this, like just a different background.
Didn't manage
to get anything rude. Anyway.
Oh my god, I love the idea of somebody trying to take a dick pic and he just can't get it like, in the
really,
in
really
the
blurry.
Shot. Oh, sorry.
Right.
Okay. Just
okay.
For me. That was just for me.
I am now going to crack on with this case. Now, you guys need to know some stuff. The case that we're going to be discussing inspired a Margaret Atwood story.
Oh boy. Yeah. So it'll be nice and light.
Oh yeah. Real just chewing gum for the eyes. We are going to be talking about Grace Marks. And she was a beautiful young woman who caused intrigue when she was accused of a sensational crime. So my first question is, do we think it is an advantage or a disadvantage to be hot and accused of a crime?
Well, talking from experience, guys, I've never been accused of a crime. That doesn't work.
It depends on the crime, doesn't it? Depends on the crime.
Ah, yeah. Okay. Good point.
Because it's a crime to, I don't even know, solicit attention from a man. Do you know what I mean? Then guilty. Yeah, I don't know. Interesting that you're asking that. So I'm thinking maybe in this case it was not.
Okay.
Helpful.
Hannah and Fanny, do you think it would be good or bad to be hot when you've been accused of a crime?
I'm quite sure that witches wear hot.
Ah, okay.
Good point. Sure didn't work out for them, did it?
A woman murderer, it's not a good idea.
Yeah, okay.
And
All right.
If you are innocent, it's not a good idea to be hot.
I agree. I feel like you're going to attract a lot more attention, aren't you, if you're hot.
And you will be accused to some tricky, seduced stuff to...
Right.
And hot witches, hot bitches.
It's bad luck.
Hey.
It's your luck.
Okay. So it sounds like we think being beautiful is going to actually just annoy everyone and going to make you look more guilty. All right. Top tips, any criminals? Dress down. Now, Grace is born in Ireland in 1828, and her dad, John Marks, was a stonemason and an abusive alcoholic. In 1840, when Grace is 12, the whole family, that's her parents, her and 8 siblings, decide to emigrate to Canada. Question, what happens on the boat journey over to Canada?
Hockey.
Hockey?
Tons of hockey.
It's actually pronounced a boot.
What happens on the boat over there?
Yeah.
I mean, does the ship sink? Is it a Titanic moment?
Oh.
Is that your answer? Ship sinks?
Yeah.
Okay, we got ship sink.
Oh, yeah.
Any other?
It's perfect. Oh, yeah. And she...
Do you want it? Ship sinks? Okay. Yeah. So we've got shipwreck.
Someone dies and perhaps Grace, is that her name, Grace Marks? Perhaps Grace is accused of the murder of someone, a passenger.
Someone tries to hide a murder with the sink.
Okay. Excellent answers, everybody. I'm going to give it to Taylor. Somebody died. Her mother died en route on the boat, and she was buried at sea.
Ooh. Does that also mean flung overboard?
I think so.
It's a polite turn of phrase for that, isn't it? Buried, yeah. Really?
Buried at sea.
Yeah.
Because isn't it on cruise ships, because they have such an old clientele, every cruise ship has a morgue.
Really?
Yeah, that's quite a lot, isn't it?
But I did not know that.
So to be clear, this woman was supposed to be dead and they just threw her from the boat.
Yeah, okay. Grace's mum gets thrown overboard, buried at sea like Osama bin Laden. Because they buried him at sea, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I forgot about that.
Yeah, it's a weird link. Anyway, now, the rest of the family made it to Canada, the abusive father and the 8 siblings. Grace gets a job as a maid. She works a few different jobs. Doing all this maiding she's doing. She's a maid.
Maiding.
And by the time she's 16, she starts working for a Mr. Thomas Kinnear in Richmond Hill, Ontario. Mr. Thomas Kinnear has a secret. Question, what is he up to?
He's the son hided by the dead mother.
Okay, secret son related to her. That is juicy. I like that. That is a good top scandalous drama. Secret. Yeah.
I think he's hiding just a love of dance.
A love of dance. Okay.
Is he hiding bodies in his basement?
Excellent guess as well. None of you guys are quite right. He's having an affair. That's his secret. He's having he's having a sexual relationship with his housekeeper, Nancy Montgomery. Now, this would be wildly sensational at this time because they were at opposite ends of the class spectrum. And so that would be breaking the magical hierarchy. But today, it's more likely to give people the ick because there's a huge imbalance of power there. So, you know, I think it's really great that the reasons that we raise eyebrows have, like, you know, really come on. really good moral evolution. So she's working in this house. The boss of the house is having an affair with the housekeeper of the house. Everyone cool?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not cool with it, but I'm cool.
Okay, so she starts work about the same time as another guy who also came from Ireland, this 20-year-old guy called James McDermott. He's 20. He's previously been a soldier in the Canadian Regiment. They both start their jobs, and then a few weeks later, in 1843, something happens. Question, what happens in 1843?
Women are allowed to talk for the first time.
Someone said, in about 100 years' time, there's going to be a world war. I know we'll be in the middle of a world war. I know a lot about 1943. I'm there. I'm like, okay, we were still at war. Shit was happening.
Better prepare.
1843. We're in Canada. Also, like, what's the class system in Canada?
Well, they had huge waves of immigration and so not dissimilar to what was going on in the US. A little bit more peaceful most of the time.
Does this guy's wife find out about the affair? That feels like something that could happen.
Oh, yeah. I was trying to think of something on like a national scale. The Canadian Revolution. Poutine for everyone.
Fanny, what do you think happened in 1843?
Oh, maybe they just had a threesome.
They had a threesome.
Okay.
Hey, love it.
What's better
love
than
it.
One maid? Two maids.
Yeah. Again, none of you have quite got it. What happened in July 1843 is that Nancy Montgomery, the housekeeper, and Thomas Kinnear were murdered.
Where?
Not married.
They're both married.
The same.
They're both murdered. Jesus, they're both murdered.
It's like Shakespeare. They either get married or murdered.
Is there really a difference?
Yeah, I'm agreeing. Yeah,
right.
Either one will kill you.
So they're murdered. Thomas Kinnear was shot. Nancy Montgomery was hit on the head with an axe and subsequently strangled before being dismembered and hidden under a large tub.
Oh, dear.
Wow.
Yeah. So that happened. And an autopsy revealed that she had been pregnant.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh.
Interesting.
Yeah. Now, Grace Marks and James McDermott are working in this house. The boss and his fuck buddy have just been brutally murdered. So they decide to flee to the United States with a hoard of stolen goods from the fancy house. They flee together. Grace takes the alias Mary Whitney, but they get apprehended in Lewiston, New York, and then they get deported back to Toronto. And so now we have an amazing spectacle trial that the press absolutely loves because, you know, double murder and sex sells.
Yeah. But also the idea of getting deported to Canada from the States is just like hilarious. Oh no. Oh no, healthcare. Oh, I can go to Cuba. Shit.
I know.
Interesting though, isn't it? That thing of like them running away, because it'll be interesting to know, you know, whether they're found guilty, because part of you thinks let's run away from this situation, but it's stealing all the things that makes me think like, that's gonna make you look guiltier. Maybe
it's not a great look.
This would be a much better, all I'm saying is this would be a much better story if there was a threesome, but there isn't.
They've missed a trick. This trial is just bonkers. It's one of those super sensational trials. Like, already this information about the affair has been trickling out, and then the public found out that Nancy had been pregnant. So it, like, there's no EastEnders. This is everybody's like absolute, oh my God, what's happening in the trial today kind of thing. So as Hannah has touched on, they're looking pretty fucking guilty. It is hard to claim innocence when you fled with the family silver and clothes and all that stuff. So
didn't look good.
It doesn't look good. Now, Grace Marks and James McDermott are tried first with the murder of Thomas Kinnear, but it remains unclear whether Grace Marks took place in the double murder. And this is why this case became famous, because it's so difficult to work out what happened. So the Examiner newspaper reported that a lot hinged on whether Grace had been a willing or reluctant participant in the murders. This is where all this intrigue has come from. So I'm going to ask you now, what are some of the things that you think that Grace did, like in the trial, around the trial, that meant people struggled to get a handle on who she was? So she's 16, so she's very young.
She's 16.
Ooh. And the other part, the James that she's been accused with is 20, but 16 is pretty young. Mm-hmm. But any other stuff do you think she did that made people super, and she's smoking hot, she's 16. Yeah. Anything else about her that's making everyone intrigued?
She's too pretty to wield an axe.
Right, yeah.
Does she speak her mind? Is she quite vocal? Are they Irish?
She's from Ireland, yeah.
She's from Ireland, okay. So I don't know whether she's just kind of like saying, you know, no, I didn't do it. Or, you know, you're told you're supposed to say no comment, right? And maybe she was, how dare she be a woman that spoke her mind?
Right,
so maybe this is what caused a bit of more controversy. Controversy?
Sure.
Controversy.
yeah. Okay.
I feel like people have been chatting about this. When was Canada...
She was a witch.
when did Canada get independence from Britain? I'm just trying to think, like, does this get involved with the British courts at all? And would her being Irish be a problem?
Oh, you think it gets political?
Well, I don't know. You know, there was a lot of... Katie, as you know, your people suffered a great deal of discrimination and unfair treatment.
Yes, 800 years. That's a great answer. I won't comment yet.
I cannot comment at this time. That's the only way I ever answered in history class in high school, by the way. I cannot comment at this time.
No comment.
I plead the fifth.
Fanny, what stuff do you think Grace did that made people intrigued or find her hard to read?
Oh, I think she laughed.
She laughed. Yeah.
Ooh.
Okay.
Actually,
that's a great answer.
Yeah, that has come up in our cases before, that there's this big suspicion if a woman laughs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's enjoying herself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So some of the things that Grace did that meant people struggled to get a handle on who she was. She displayed little emotion during the trial hearings. She showed up to court wearing clothes that she had stolen from the dead Nancy Montgomery.
That's bold.
Yeah.
I mean, that's bold.
That is bold.
What were they? Were like, I love the idea they're like, I'm with stupid t-shirts. I assume they were probably quite sophisticated.
Yeah, I guess like, I'm assuming dresses. Based on nothing. For all we know, it was I'm with stupid t-shirts.
Interesting though that I guessed that she was like, not over emotional, but over chatty. And actually, it's the fact that she wasn't chatty at all.
She was under. And she apparently fainted when her sentence was read. So now we're going to move on to the meat of this. Grace and James gave multiple very incompatible accounts of the crime. Neither of them claimed to be completely innocent of it, but they both claimed that it was the other one's idea and that they'd sort of been made to help go along with it. So something is a bit like when both my kids say it was the other ones I did to throw all the sand out of the sandpit.
Similar consequences. Yes.
Very similar. And if this judge was anything as good as I am at parenting, I'm sure he just downed his wine and said his husband was going to take over for a bit.
You two sit down and think about what you've done. And then it's dinner time.
Yeah. Daddy's in charge. I can't face this right now.
I would love
to see a judge do that. Like, I just don't want to today. Bill, come on.
It's too much. But there just aren't enough breaks.
I'm so sick of murder.
I think Judge Judy would be a more interesting show if she was just like, I just can't today.
She pretty much does.
I mean, she actually does. That's why the sentence
everything is yeah.
bought out people's dads to tell them off. Like, I feel like that would have a really good effect on criminals. If it's like your dad's here, and they'd be like, what? That'd be great.
Yeah, interesting. Take the old, like, school approach.
Drunk women solving crime.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, so what did both Grace and James claim the other one's motivation for the murder was?
I mean, often motivation for murder is money, okay. Right? So I'm assuming it's money.
Okay, money.
They've been caught stealing everything, so it feels like they'd have to have a better excuse than...
Yeah, did they claim guilty?
So Grace is saying James did it, and this is the reason why. What reason is she saying? Like, and what reason is he saying? They're both saying the other one's reason.
Okay.
So we've got money.
Oh, and Taylor, I said not money.
You said not money.
My answer is not money.
So one of you is right.
Envy.
Envy. Okay.
Sloth.
Greed. Just naming what's... I want to say sins. It's not sins. Is it sins?
Yeah, the seven deadly sins.
It's the seven deadly sins. Fanny, what do you think they said?
She was pregnant?
Yeah, okay, because she was pregnant. Yeah. Okay, so they both said that the other one had just been sacked by Nancy Montgomery. Grace said that James had just been sacked by Nancy Montgomery because as the housekeeper, she has the power to sack people. And they both said that the other one was super angry about being sacked. So Grace says that James has been sacked by Nancy for not doing his work properly. And so he wanted to kill her and then kill Kinnear. And she said that he made her promise to assist him. And
does anyone else keep picturing Greg Kinnear, the actor? Like, every time you say that, I just see his little happy face.
Yeah. I mean, where is he in all this?
Greg, if you're watching, I'm sorry I made you look like that. That's my Greg Kinnear impression.
So basically, so she said that she tried to run away from the house, and he shot at her when she didn't want to help him. And there was like a bullet in the doorframe of the kitchen. So that backed up her story in that way. But McDermott, he flips that narrative around, and he's saying that she goaded him until he agreed to help her commit the murders. And he said that she'd been fired by Montgomery and that she'd been told to leave, and she was worried that she wouldn't get her wages. And she told him that he would be a coward if he didn't help her. And that she'd also told him that if he didn't help her, he would never have luck in his life ever again.
I love that. Like, do you remember those emails you used to get? And it was like, if you don't send these to 20 other people, you're going to have bad luck for life. And I always sent them, and I've had quite just a lucky in case. Life, so.
And yeah, you're so happy. So,
wow.
Oh my God, I love the idea of like writing a self-help book saying that my life, like, I'm really happy, but it's literally because I forwarded every chain email I got as a teenager.
I thought you were going to say somebody should write a self-help book where they say, if you want to be happy, tell all of your friends to buy this book.
That's
and that's
a great
it.
Marketing
it's just a
strategy.
Very short book.
Now, so she made him hit Nancy with the axe, and then she followed him in. So he'd wounded Nancy without killing her, and then that Grace had brought in a piece of white cloth, tied the cloth around Montgomery's neck and strangled her. So he says that Grace actually killed Nancy Montgomery. So my question to you guys now is, who are we believing most at the moment, him or her?
I think that it's a bit like, it's a bit pathetic if you've got an axe and she's got a piece of cloth and she's the one that murdered her. It's just a bit like...
Yeah.
But...
Yeah, that's pretty flimsy, isn't it?
I believe the woman, but that's because I always believe the woman.
Was he the guy who had an affair, a secret affair? Yeah.
So I mean,
so he knows how to lie.
I've been wondering that if, like, so Thomas Kinnear, who's been shot, is the one having the affair with Nancy. So Kinnear is just shot, but Nancy is brutalized. Like, she's attacked with an axe, and strangling is quite an intimate crime. It has crossed
my
mind.
And she was pregnant.
And she was pregnant.
Was the baby his?
Well, one has to assume it's Thomas Kinnear's baby.
No, her dude, John. What's his name?
Oh, do you? So are we suggesting that James... What's it? Has also having an affair with Nancy.
Yes, I am.
Okay,
and I will stand by this theory.
Yeah, well, that has crossed my mind as well, because it's quite an intimate way of killing someone.
It has maybe some hallmarks of a murder suicide, right?
Oh,
you know, killing a pregnant person you're having an affair with.
So you think
end up shot?
Yeah, Kinnear killed Nancy Montgomery.
Yeah.
And then shot himself because he couldn't live with the shame of breaking the magical social hierarchy.
Ooh,
maybe.
Interesting. And then these guys just fled with all the silver and got the blame.
Yeah, their biggest crime is liking silver, I guess.
Although they both do say the other one did it and made them help.
That's what you'd immediately go to, though, wouldn't you? Like,
just to try and get yourself off the hook, blame the other one more.
Throw the other one under the carriage or whatever it was in those two.
Yeah, right. They're not like super smart at interesting. Wow, we seriously, I say this every time, but we have blown this wide open.
That's what your wife said to me in the shower this morning.
Hey.
Let's roll.
Who killed the mother?
I'm still wondering about that. What's the relevance of that? You're quite right, Fanny.
Yeah.
And do they bring that up in the trial? Does that get used against Grace that her mother died on a boat?
I was just trying to give you background as to where she came from.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. See, I went all suspicious, like, ooh, that mother thing. People died on boats all the time.
Yeah, I mean, you never know. Okay, so people still debate this case now. The Victorians have a verdict. They decided.
Sure.
So I will tell you what they decided in a second. Also, the other thing about this case is that at the time, all the people that are sensationally shocked and enthralled by this case, you know, reading about this case, writing about this case, a lot of them have servants and are very dependent on servants.
Uh-huh.
So it's pretty shocking and horrifying for them that like some servants have killed their employers for really what sounds like quite a very small reason, like not real provocation.
Yeah.
So there's this.
They're like, oh, we can't let this happen. We got to pay them even less.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they can't have this power.
But the thing is, that's partly why this case is so mad. So basically, people are schizophrenic about this case because also the Victorians had this thing about femininity. So like women are supposed to be like, oh, delicate and moral. The idea that a woman, a 16-year-old girl, has done a murder is freaking people out. So people are either completely freaked out or they're like, no, it was all him. She's innocent. Ah. All of these articles, half of them are like, la, 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 Grace is lovely. A beautiful girl has been tricked. I don't want to think about this. La, la, la. Or like all the articles are like, listen up. She's a killer. I'm a servant truther. Listen up, sheeple. She's going to kill you next. All very extreme. Mm-hmm. And in fact, Margaret Atwood, who obviously has written a book about this.
I forgot about the Margaret Atwood thing. Okay. So
I can tell you now, it's her book, Alias Grace.
Oh my gosh.
There's a series on Netflix anyway.
Wow. Okay.
But she said that when she was researching all the source material, everything was so inconsistent. No witnesses could even agree on what they'd seen in the court because everyone's just like completely like, this is hitting them where it hurts kind of thing. So Grace's best bet is for everyone to think that she's stupid and beautiful little girl. So my question to you now is, who goes down for this crime? One of them, both of them, or neither of them?
Gosh, I didn't continue with the series. It's the only way I could know. I think she must go down.
Okay, you think Grace goes down?
Yeah, both. I'm going to say both, but his sentence is slightly worse.
Okay, interesting. You guys, Hannah, Fanny?
I think he goes down. And I don't know if they have like the same 12 angry men as we do in terms of the juries.
Yeah.
I'm like, I mean, who is it on those juries? Because that sort of matters as to sort of what the outcome is.
Right, yeah.
So if it is 12 men and she's going like, we so silly, then it's kind of, if she's
playing, I love your Irish accent. It's so good.
But, in terms of, and good for her if she's using that to her advantage because she's obviously being maybe, lied about by this guy, that I think they find her innocent and him guilty.
Mm. Okay.
I think that they find her guilty, but they put it on hysteria.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, female hysteria. Yes.
Okay.
I love it. You guys are all on the money. Basically, what happens is James McDermott is found guilty and sentenced to the gallows.
Wow.
Grace Marks is also found guilty, but the jury recommended leniency because of her youth. So her sentence was commuted to life in prison.
Oh, that's lovely. Good for her.
Yeah.
I love when that's the better option. Because let's just picture prison back then.
Prison in Canada, though. That's cool. That's
fine. That's true. Yeah. They'd have winter sports and beer and stuff. Sorry, I just love throwing out every stereotype I can think of about Canada. All right.
Is there any you've missed? So she goes to prison. At one point during her time in prison, she was committed to an asylum, but she was later returned back to Kingston Penitentiary. And also in her time in prison, she claimed to experience psychological problems, including multiple personality disorder. And she said that her body was possessed by the consciousness of other people. But other reports suggest that she was faking insanity, and the asylum superintendent believed that she was faking her insanity.
So that she could go to the nice asylum.
Yeah.
They treat you so much better.
Yeah.
Maybe the food was better. I would make a decision based on the meals.
Yeah, yeah. So she actually gets out of prison after 30 years of incarceration. She was pardoned in 1872.
Wow.
And she moved to New York and then she disappears.
Oh, no.
There's literally no more record of her. So at some point in her 40s, new identity, gone.
Okay.
And to this day, she remains an enigmatic figure, and people still debate whether she was a mastermind or a pawn.
Mm-hmm.
And I've already told you there was a mini series on Netflix, so go watch that if you're interested.
Wow.
But let's raise a class to being a hot enigma.
Yeah. Ooh, great band.
Drunk women solving crime.
I'm loving it getting darker behind you, Fanny, as well, because the Parisian kind of vibe is just getting better
it's
as it gets
just
darker.
Getting stronger the night. Yeah, the lights have come on outside. Oh,
and the Haussmann buildings and everything.
Oh, can you just, when we're done, just go and run outside and yell, I love this city. Like, just give it the love. Unbelievable. Oh, the shutters. Oh, guys. Anyway. Some people just know how to live.
If you want to see Parisian shutters, join our Patreon or come on, pay to see us on Zoom Live. Also, while I remember it, I would like to do a shout out to a listener, Kate Wilkinson, because it's her birthday. Happy birthday, Yay! Kate Wilkinson.
Happy birthday. Bon anniversaire à toi. Bon anniversaire à toi. Bon anniversaire, Katie. Bon anniversaire à toi.
Pas mal, mais
that was good.
All right.
We are international. I have a listener crime here. About 11 years ago on a summer eve when I was living in Shanklin on the Isle of Wight.
What?
With my grandparents.
My grandparents lived in Shanklin on the Isle of Wight.
Oh, everyone has the same grandparents on the Isle of Wight. Come on, it's no big deal.
This is their second family, Hannah.
So this is a listener who is here tonight in the...
Wow.
Oh, yes. I don't have a name, but our producer has gathered this crime from the Zoom.
Okay, Shanklin. I always remember there was a joke about Shanklin, which is, do you like Shanklin? I don't know, I've never shankled. Now, that's not a great joke, is it? But that is a famous Isle of Wight joke, and I can hear the listeners at home laughing, so we'll go with that.
Okay. You guys have your own thing.
Yeah. All right, so they're on the Isle of Wight with grandparents. My granddad was out of the house to go to evening bingo. It was me and Nana in the house, alone in the bungalow. I was writing my dissertation in my bedroom while my Nana was watching TV in the living room. At around 7:30 p.m., we both heard a big bang coming from my grandparents' locked bedroom. We both stupidly ignored it. We thought it was the other one making the noise. So the evening went on without any other incident. The next day, my Nana discovered that her 2p money box had been stolen from her dresser. She even found a bit of dried mud on the floor near the window and a tiny footprint on the windowsill. So my question is, who climbed in through the tiny window and stole the 2p money box? There were bracelets, rings, and a watch on full display. We didn't find the suspect, but Detective Nana thinks it may have been a small child climbing through. Help, drunk women.
Creepy! That's the creepiest thing I can think of, is a little child coming in and stealing I just need a little bit of money.
I mean, someone in the chat has just said a ghost child, and that's where my mind went as well.
Incredible. It's Shanklin, people. That place is haunted.
So funny, to give you some context, I'm from the Isle of Wight, which is this island off the south coast of England, and Shanklin is like a proper old school seaside town. So to me, somebody stealing 2p's will be straight for the 2p machines down the arcade. So I think it's got to be a child.
Oh my god, solved.
Yeah, I mean, it's either it's
she's
either a ghost
local
child,
she knows,
or an alive child. And yeah, it's an, who's it's to arcade say that money
ghost children can enjoy an arcade, you know, they're still looking for fun. So either way, oh boy.
Okay.
We're good.
Yeah, I think that's means, motive, and opportunity. Is that the other one?
Or also, it could have been carnival night, and on carnival night in Shanklin, my Nana would give me a bag of 2p's that I would put in little pots or floats as they went by. So if it was carnival night, then we're going to need another hour on this. So I just need to know.
Okay. All right. I mean, I actually think we've solved that.
Yeah, we have solved.
In that case, we have just enough time to ask Fanny Sydney, what are you up to? Where can we find you? What do you want to plug?
I just directed a series about two women solving crimes.
Oh my god!
You've just directed a series about two women solving crime.
Yes.
What's it called?
It's called...
Can you tell us?
Brigade Mobile on French network, Arte.
Oh my gosh, that's fabulous.
It's about a woman who dreamed to solve crimes and to catch some serial killers, but she has to work in a camping van, in a police camping van, to help people in the countryside.
Amazing.
Yeah, so, and she's stuck in this camping van, and she just has have to solve this huge crime, but some other stuff called her.
Oh, it sounds amazing.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So will we get to see, like, will it be on Netflix with subtitles? Can we watch it too?
I think it's just in French and in German.
Oh, well, I guess I'm just going to have to finally come to Paris so I can
Hey, there we go. We'll have a viewing party in Paris.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
That's so cool. Awesome. Well, then, it just remains for me to say thank you so much for joining us, Fanny Sydney.
Thank you. And thank you, everyone, for joining us tonight.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman. Music by The Lion and the Wolf. If you would like to, you can follow us on Drunk Women Pod on Twitter. On Facebook and Insta, we are Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. And also, if you have a crime that you would like us to solve, write it on a review on Apple Podcasts as well. Thank you to Acast, and thank you for listening. Bye.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.